Sway in the morning on Shade 45.
So I got a great Triple D story for you. Got this married couple. The wife is in the military, and they traveled from Nebraska to the Netherlands to Ohio to Maine, and the whole time they want great Jamaican food. They can't find any, so they start to make their own. And their friends say, you know what? Someday you guys should open your own restaurant. After they get stationed here in Colorado Springs, they do just that. This is Spice Island Grill. Jerk pork up!
And the food is amazing every time.
That's because Claudette and Glenroy Hutchinson know Jamaican food. They grew up on it, and when their families immigrated to the States, they brought their recipes with them everywhere they went.
Man, that voice right there, this guy is no stranger. Very celebrated in the culinary industry. We love him in Northern California. They love him in Florida, everywhere he goes. He's made cooking an event in so many ways, on so many levels, and he made a lot of us believe that we too can be chefs. But it's not just about cooking. It's about the experience. It's about culture, and it's just about really bringing people together through food. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for the one and only Guy Fieri, ladies and gentlemen.
Guy Fieri,
that's our guy.
A long overdue reunion, and thank you for having me. Always love coming to New York and hanging out with you guys in the studio. And like I tell everybody, the energy, I don't want to leave. That's the only thing I don't like about coming to the show is that eventually I have to go. Either I'm getting pulled out or you guys have more guests coming in. But Sway, you'd always make me feel good. Like, sit over here. You can stay longer. You're great energy. You're a great team. It's very interesting to see you all in different spots now. And not everybody locked down in the glass fishbowl. But does that ever happen anymore?
It will. We just came back from L.A. in our L.A. offices. We did an entire week out there. They almost couldn't get us to return back to New York. That's how great it was. But the offices in New York could be opening up real soon. So you'll be able to come in there real soon. We were in L.A. for the Super Bowl. And if I'm not mistaken, did I see you in a Super Bowl commercial?
That might have happened.
Right.
That are a really good imposter. I mean, it could have been somebody that was looking to. No, I got a call from the Bud Light Seltzer Hard Soda team back in October, and they said, would the mayor of Flavortown like to be in a commercial that shows where Flavortown is? And I'm like, somebody punking me. If I'm getting punked, we're going to have a real, don't mess with my emotions. And we did the most, to me, it was the greatest commercial I've ever been in and the greatest collaborative. And they really were over the top. We went to Atlanta and shot it in a CG studio, a movie studio. I mean, it was next level, everything. I've never seen anything like it. I told people it wasn't a commercial. It was a 60-second movie.
Wow. And then how much input did you have on the creative?
100%. Everything. 100%. I mean, we had more meetings with that. My manager, Reed, who is my right-hand man, he said, people don't put this much time and energy into a presidential campaign. They said, you know, it's just, I'm not kidding you, 3, 4, 5 meetings a day, creative being bounced back and forth, drawing scripts, storyboards, the whole thing. And when I got there, they made it was a movie set. The way they built that out. So when we're going through this village, I mean, it was overwhelming. And here's the thing, the people, you know, Bud Light Seltzer Arts, they put so much money into making their product. They backed it up with the way they made the commercial and when they played the commercial and how much they played it. So it was really an honor. I'm a huge sports fan, huge Super Bowl fan, go every year. Uh-huh. And to have that, to be put on that stage, I said it was my first round draft pick. So.
Yeah, man. You look big, man. Guy Fieri is here. We're talking about the Season 3 of Tournament of Champions. Hey, Guy, have you ever had a situation, which is on Sundays on the Food Network, have you ever had a situation like, while I'm thinking about this commercial, I've been asked to do a commercials in the past that I really wanted to do because the paycheck was right, but the concept wasn't right. You know what I mean? It wasn't aligned with how you've had that happen?
You got to stay true to who you are. And yeah. I mean, you do it great. You've been consistent. That's what your fans love about you. That's what we all appreciate about you in the industry is you stay true to who you are. Doesn't mean you don't diversify and that you don't have an open mind to trying things. But if it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't look good, if it's not on point with who you are, then I got to say you make the pass. And I just received an award in Florida this weekend at the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. And I was thanking everybody, and I was thanking my agent. I have the greatest agent in the world, a guy named Jason Hodes with WME. And Jason told me early on, and Jason's younger than me, so it's interesting to be listening, but he knows the business. And he said, if it doesn't feel like $1 million, pass, because there's power in the pass.
That's
if you're, if you don't need the money so bad, be true to you and be true to what you're about and what you believe in. And so I did a Rolaids commercial one time and everybody's like, you did a Rolaids commercial. Isn't that kind of like anti the food world? Like, cause it's heartburn. I said, no, cause I have heartburn and I eat Rolaids. So it's not a stretch. It's not a stretch for me. You know, it worked out, but no, there's a power in the pass. And we got to remember that, you know, if you don't feel 100% about it, I really believe that it'll convey across the airwaves. So keep it real. But no, that Bud Light Seltzer thing, before I took the deal, I said, send me some Bud Light Seltzer. You know, send me 200 cases. Let me try them with my best friend.
200 cases.
Damn.
You would win either way. But listen, Guy, on the subject of money, okay, because when you get a Super Bowl commercial, people see you as an icon, but people also say, okay, Guy Fieri, that was another big-ass check that he just collected. And listen, Guy, I don't know the exact number for your net worth, but I do recall, buddy, a couple years ago, seeing an article say that you were the highest-paid personality on the Food Network. And I wonder, does that, like, when people do start to get ideas of what your bank account might look like, is that a proud moment for you, or is that concerning since so many people now know exactly what you're working with?
Well, I never grew up with money, so I was not a money-oriented person, and quite frankly, never has been the way I've let it run my life. It's a necessity in one aspect, and it's a opportunity in the other, but by no means does it ever define me. And so I was a little disappointed. Actually, I was a lot disappointed when the news broke of what my new contract was with the Food Network, because that hurt some feelings. There's some other chefs that have been on longer that think they should be making more. There's people that think they should be making more because they're a different. So it's just nothing. I would never flaunt it. I would never say it. I would never push it on people. It's just, it's not worth it. But what I do think is important is just to, again, go back to that common theme that we were just saying again a moment ago. Just be true to who you are. I mean, I still, I'm wearing tennis shoes and a t-shirt. And, you know, I got a house in Florida, but it's not, you know, it's being the same person you are, just maybe in a little bit different setting, but just staying grounded to what it was all about. You know, I do a lot of philanthropy and a lot of charity, and that's what I really am so excited about in this, you know, next chapter of my career. I'm not going away on TV, but I don't do as much. Because I got a chance to help so many other people. It's like why I do Tournament of Champions. You know, that show, I invented that show simply because my brothers and sisters that are in the industry weren't getting, I don't think they get enough exposure. Some do really well, but there are so many great chefs from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life that need to be, that need to get the light shown on them. They need to have this opportunity to explain to the world who they are. So when I brought the show to the network, like, I don't know. What's going to make it different? I said, well, two things are going to make it different. One, we have blind tasting. No judge will know who's competing, and no competitor will know who's judging. Okay? So that takes out any chance to say that someone cooked knowing that the chef like this, or this chef used to work with that chef, or this chef has animosity with that chef. So that doesn't happen. Second thing is the randomizer. We created this horrible wheel of situations that, you know, from the protein to the veg, to the style, to the equipment, to the time, that really sets it apart that no two competitions will ever be the same. So the chefs can't gear up for it. So they really have to come in and cook from the gut. But that to me is that's where the majority of my focus is now, is just making sure that all my brothers and sisters get the recognition. And very similar to what you do on your show. I mean, again, that same parallel, probably Sway, that's why we all got along so well, is, man, we have so much we can do to make this world a better place and so much more, give so much more love. It doesn't have to always be just about what we're doing and who we are. It's about, you know, recognizing others.
And you look, that man is not just giving you lip service. I mean, I know you teamed up with the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation and you raised money for unemployed restaurant workers.
Yes.
The newly created Restaurant Employee Relief Fund, you guys raised $20 million. Come on, man. And, you know, that's keeping food on people's tables. That's, you know, keeping money in their accounts, keeping their kids in school. So salute to you. When you say philanthropy, there needs to be another word for what it is you do. So thank you, sir. Right? Come on.
That's true.
I appreciate it. I'll tell you, that's the only time that I think I've really had to throw weight around. And I don't like to use that term, throw weight around, but I had to lean in on some folks kind of hard, some harder than others. But what I did is I got the names and the phone numbers and the email addresses of 43 of the big executives around the country that all profit from the restaurant industry. And on a Sunday night, very similar to what I'm doing here, put the computer up and made individual 45-second videos that I sent to each individual president of these companies and said, I know you, you know me. We know that we love the industry. We know that your company profits from it. Now we need to get some money together. We're closing restaurants by the tens of thousands. Can I get some money from you, please? Because I'm going to put a fund together and give money to employees that tomorrow think they're going to work, but they're not. Mm. And they need money because they're counting on their tips or they're counting on their paycheck. And everybody looked at me. I mean, even my family looked at me. You are losing it. You can't take on the world in the middle of the pandemic. It was the beginning of the pandemic. I said, bullshit. But I said, I absolutely am going to do something about this. I'm not going to stand here. So I sent the messages out. And the next day I'm driving to my ranch and my manager calls and says, did you send a message to Pepsi? I said, yeah, what about it? He goes, well, they're on the phone right now and they want to give you $1 million. I'm like, yes. Wow. I knew it. Nice. And we there started banking. We 25 million bucks. That's how much we have at the end of end. That's how much we raised was $25 million. We gave out over 43,000 grants to restaurant employees. And that was a drop in the bucket. But you know what it did say? It said to everybody, you can do things. Doesn't mean that it's going to affect everybody, but you can do things to improve this world if you just do something. And uh-huh. and we made a pretty good. I think we made a pretty good hit.
Yes,
Guy Fieri is here, man. Come on, HB. I see you nodding your head. Heather B started a mentorship program through her platform. And that's an example of just doing something one person at a time. And I honestly mm-hmm. feel like Heather B could have been at. In the Tournament of Champions. I'm not
Hell
sure.
Yeah.
Did y'all reach out? HB, did he reach out to you?
No, look, I want to, when the next time I see my buddy Guy, I'm going to hug him and pinch him at the same time. So one of the last times he came to the show, I made him some collard greens. So Guy jumps.
That.
That's me. Yes. So he jumps on air and he goes, this is the collard green queen. Well, guess what that did? Every Thanksgiving, no matter whose house I'm going to, they calling me to ask me to make the collard greens. I'm like, where's that doggone Guy Fieri in his kitchen right now helping me chop up all these greens? So thank you, Guy. Like, I got an own personal nickname from Guy Fieri.
There you go.
Well, I think you need to run the collard green queen and take it another step, because here's the thing. People don't know about collard greens. I grew up in Northern California. And my mom was from Georgia, North Carolina area. And so I was raised eating grits and collard greens.
Mm, okay.
And people would look at us like they're crazy. But if you haven't had them and you don't know how amazing they are, and especially the way you made them, you crushed them. There's so many different ways to do them. People are doing them vegetarian. People are doing them yes. with pork. People are doing them with smoked turkey. I mean, there's so many different styles that are going on. I think you need to take your game to one more level and really embrace the braised greens game, because I make a braised green called Utica Greens up in Utica, New York. There was a casino and they made these greens that has like salami and some peppers and onions and garlic in it. But there's really a game in the braised greens game. Wow. And you right now, I think, hold the belt. So go next level.
Come on, man.
Thank you, Guy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Also, I wanted to ask you, too. I saw you recently online in pictures with, like, Marcus Samuelson and so many of the other chefs out there. And I was wondering, because there's so many different levels, like, I'm a home cook, yet there's trained chefs and all these different things. What is the chef industry like? Do you guys just, like, hang out, pal around? Is there just a genuine love for each other? Or sometimes is it like that little bit of animosity? Because some people have, I know I see it. Let me start with me. I see it where they feel like you're getting a lot of attention and you didn't even graduate from culinary school, so to speak, and you have all these followers versus someone who's badass trained and they're still trying to be a Food Network star, if you will. Can you talk about that?
Well, I don't. It's too, at least from whether or not, some of my favorite chefs that I cook with on a regular basis didn't go to culinary school. I didn't go to culinary school. I worked in the industry my whole life. So then there's the other side of it. Somebody saying, well, you went to culinary school. You've only been in the industry for 10 years, but you really never washed dishes and went through the, you know, the trouble, the pain that I went through.
Right.
I think that stuff's over. There was a time maybe years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when there was some of that smack that was going on. Being one of the guys that's been around for a while, I am not into judgment. I am not into judgment. I'm not into prejudice. I'm not into be you. Be the best person you can be. Cook the food you like to cook. I don't care if it's cheese out of a can.
Right.
If somebody's eating it and they're paying you to do it, amen to that, you know? And I think the judgment game has really taken a turn. And I think the pandemic had something to do with it. I think people kind of woke up and said, like, I mean, don't we have some other stuff that we should be focusing on versus who went to what school or who wears what when they go to work? I mean, that's just silliness. But I will tell you that the brother and sisterhood, again, one of those reasons I made TOC, but we were just in Miami this weekend for the South Beach Food and Wine, and every year a chef gets honored. And I think this was the 21st year of the festival, and this was my year to be honored. So I have, you know, 10 chefs there cooking for my dinner of 900 people, but I also have Marcus Samuelson, Robert Irvine, Duff Goldman, I've got Brooke Williamson. I got all my, I mean, it gives me goosebumps
right
to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I had all of these chefs there celebrating my night. So I think if there's ever been a question of where the division is inside of the industry, I think that maybe there was some stuff that used to go on, but I think now, man, it's such good energy and such good harmony and balance and support that that's what's important. And we're all doing, and the funny thing is we're all cooking the thing we all love. We all love food.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Okay. Yes. So I want to do. I know you got to do some more interviews real quick. We got Brandon on the line from Nevada. Rise and
What's
grind,
up, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Sway. Hey, everyone. Long time, first time, but had to call to give Guy a shout out and thank him for all the work he's done for the firefighters out here over the last several years with all the wildfires raging. Guy is a constant person there on the scene helping all the firefighters and just want to give him his props.
Wow. Hey, that guy.
Did you deploy? Did your department deploy out? Did you get drug into that?
Not me personally. I have family and neighbors that are involved in, you know, South Lake Tahoe, Northern California.
Right.
Impacts the world here. And, you know, you're a great advocate, philanthropic, and there needs to be more Guy Fieri's in this world.
There you go, Guy. Just take
you're
that,
awesome.
Guy. Go ahead, Guy. Thank you, Brandon. You're a citizen.
Brandon, you're awesome, buddy, and I appreciate you. See, that's the thing right there. So he's not even the firefighter that's doing it, but he's thanking somebody that's supporting. And see, that's what I tell people all the time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be about money. You know, good energy is good energy. Love is love. Support, pat on the back. Thank you. How about we tweet and text more positive as opposed to hating on somebody? I mean, it's just barbaric. I mean, what are we really creating? But what Brandon just said is these firefighters, we go out, are my foundation, it's called Guy Fieri Foundation. And our foundation's about first responders, military, women, and children. That's what the foundation does. All groups that I feel are very underserved. And so we do have a reading advocacy program. We have a culinary support program, but when we have disasters, we go out with this 48-foot-long rescue trailer and we feed people. But we don't feed people because they don't have food. There's groups that are there feeding the necessities. We go there just to give support and love. We go and feed these firefighters. They got drug out of their firehouse in Henderson, Nevada, and get stuck on this wildfire in Northern California in this crazy situation. And all we do is come in to feed them something different and just say, you know what? Hey, there's a lot of people that love you and appreciate you. And here you go. And we just do it for good energy.
Man, love it, man. Guy Fieri, ladies and gentlemen.
Guy.
Come on, man. And congratulations. Season 35 of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That's going to air Friday at 9 p.m. on the Food Network. Season 35,
my
dude.
My gosh.
What is that?
Wait,
is that a record?
Getting you. I need your team. We got to get the team to a Triple D location. We got to figure this
Let's
out.
Let's go, man. What are you talking about?
We need this to happen.
We could come
we
broadcast
need to make this
wherever. All right, we could broadcast.
We should broadcast from Guy's Groceries games. That's my favorite.
We're going in studio. We'll be in studio in April, and we'll be in studio in September. So, Sway, you still have my number, right?
I still got your info. Yes.
Yeah, it's still the same number. Hit me up. I'm serious.
That would be amazing.
We could broadcast and judge at the Guy's Grocery Game. That show is so addictive and fun and fire. Yeah. And I just want to run around that grocery store with a cart.
Okay. All right.
Go on a joyride.
And I make people when they come to the show and they tell me that they're fans. I'm like, okay, you ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Go grab that cart. Start running. And people are like,
wait, Mr. Bird, go.
Okay. Hey, guys, man.
Sway, is the last four of yours 0749?
Okay, that's an old one. I just sent you something. Did you get a text?
5644? Hang on a second.
Yeah, that's it. That's me. 5644. Get rid of that other one. That's somebody else's number. So if you... they don't met so many people.
We all coming down. They like, word, this is Guy Fieri on my phone.
Listen, you guys know how it is. You start getting in with people, and then you go and you send them a text like, hey, man, I haven't seen you in a while. It's Guy. And then you get somebody like, Guy Fieri, is this really? And I'm like, nope, click, goodbye.
Click, boom. Hey, Guy, congratulations once again, man. It's good to see your face, brother. Send our love to the family as well, okay?
Hey, guys.
Give it up.
Miss you all, man.
Miss you too. Sundays, 8 p.m. on the Food Network. Tournament of Champions and Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives this Friday at 9 p.m. celebrating 35th season. Come on, Guy.
And then
this year, we're going to talk about it. I want to come broadcast where you are. We all want to come down. Yeah, we'll figure that out. All right?
We're going to put this together. Miss you, guys.
Miss you too.
Miss you,
Guy. Take care, Guy.